This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Vice Guide to Right Now, your inside look into the best of Vice. It's Monday, January 7th. I'm Sophie Casas. Today, we're talking to Motherboard Editor-in-Chief Jason Kebler about why it's probably a really good idea to delete your Facebook. As a freshman in high school, in 2002, Jason made a personal website ingeniously called Jason's Site. It had a news feed, an About Me page, and an email mailing list for people to receive updates. It had a section for photos, a guest book, and even a friends page that was literally just a list of all of Jason's friends. While Jason's Site is definitely a relic of its time, it's important to note one thing about the website. His data wasn't monetized, and Mark Zuckerberg didn't own it. So in this episode, we talk to Jason about how things like personal websites or email can replace most of what people like about Facebook, namely the urge to post about our lives online. So Jason, you opened your story with an amazing description of a website you made when you were a teenager in high school. Can you please tell us a little bit about your website?
Yeah, so the website is called Jason's Site. I remember very clearly when I made it. I was 13, a freshman in high school. I think it was, you know, first semester, freshman year, and I had these new friends, and I was like, wow, I want to tell people that I have friends or something. Like, I'm not sure what was running through my head. And so naturally, I decided to make a website where I listed my friends. You know, I had a blog, I had a quiz about myself, I had photos of my friends and family. It was, at the time, I thought it was cool. And then pretty immediately after that, I thought, this is very embarrassing. I'm never showing anyone this. And now that that was 16 years ago, I'm like, it wasn't so bad. It was actually kind of cool. So the site looks like it was made in 2002 because it was made in 2002. I made it in something called like Front Page, and it was hosted on GeoCities and also this website called Tripod, because I wanted it in two separate places in case one went down, which was pretty like forward looking since GeoCities is down now. But yeah, it has like scrolling text at the top, a flash intro, and it's just like a relic, and I'm really glad that it still exists. So I actually updated that website like every day for 3 months back in freshman year. And then suddenly I stopped altogether and I never went back to it. I never posted to it. I was really excited about it. And I was just kind of wondering the other day, like, why did I stop? Have you seen it?
I haven't
seen
it.
Can you? I'd love for you to open it up and just like give listeners a reaction, because most people just burst out laughing when they see it.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Jason's Site. Wow, this is amazing. Join my mailing list. I'll tell you whenever my page is updated, etc. News, contests, and something that I can't read because the font is so unique.
The font is all like super jagged and edgy. I thought it was very cool.
I think it just says dot, 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 and other stuff. They might just be dot, dot, dots.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is very 2000s. It's very thorough. Some pretty cool color schemes and a very sort of jagged font, like set of fonts, really.
Yeah, a lot of black and red.
Yeah.
I think I like changed fonts in mid text a lot too. So yeah, definitely a relic of the era. And I stopped posting on it, and I was recently thinking, because there's been this like delete Facebook movement, like why did I stop doing that?
Yeah.
And
Why?
I really didn't stop. Like, once I thought about it, I didn't stop. I just moved. I stopped updating JSON's site, and I went to Zanga. I don't know if you remember Zanga.
I don't remember Zanga, but I did have MySpace.
Yeah. So I went to Zanga, which was basically like a proto LiveJournal type thing. And then we all moved to LiveJournal, like me and all of my friends. And we were posting every day about our lives and like the drama that was going on, like who liked who and what teachers sucked and stuff like that. And then we got MySpace and kept doing the exact same thing. And then eventually we got Facebook, and nothing really ever changed. It was always the same type of stuff that we were sharing. But what I realized is that when we posted super personal things on Zanga and LiveJournal, nothing bad ever really happened to us. And that may have been because we were like insulated and weren't sharing like bad things necessarily, but nothing bad in the sense like Zanga never got hacked, LiveJournal never got hacked. You know, we weren't being served targeted advertisements. And now you kind of look at Facebook and there's been just like this constant stream of, you know, your data is being sold, you're being targeted by Russian hackers, you know, Facebook is getting hacked and that sort of thing. And people are like, let's get off Facebook. It's bad. But no one has really raised an alternative.
Yeah. And one thing you talk about is how before Facebook, when we were on things like MySpace, even though they weren't really monetized in the same way that Facebook is, and so like our personal data wasn't being kind of misused and sold and leaked and all of that stuff, we were being socialized by those sort of precursor websites to just post anything and everything about our lives online and to feel that there were no consequences. And so then, like, as Facebook developed and kind of became the advertising company that it really is today, I feel like an entire generation, like our generation specifically, kind of like went into Facebook just not really thinking about what we were posting. And I think that's changed now. Like, people are much more kind of aware of these sites and their power. But like, at least at the beginning of Facebook, like, it was just the same. It was just an extension of MySpace. It was like,
yeah. And so I think that there's this sort of undercurrent, and I don't know if everyone feels this way or not, but I feel like as part of this delete Facebook movement, there's like, yeah, delete Facebook because Facebook is bad, but also delete Facebook because if you're on Facebook, like, you're an idiot. Like, why are you sharing all this information about yourself? Like, Facebook is for old people and cat photos and stuff like that. And I think that that is really misguided because, like you said, anyone who grew up in the 2000s posted all the time, wherever. Like, Facebook isn't when we started posting things. It's like, I was posting on my own website, then I was posting on MySpace, then I was posting on LiveJournal, like all sort of concurrently and using them for different things. And nothing bad ever happened. Like, I never felt like that was used against me in any way. And then Facebook comes along, and like you said, we keep posting as we always have. And suddenly, like, Mark Zuckerberg monetized it and changed the newsfeed. And suddenly we're getting fed like propaganda and getting targeted by Russians and things of that nature, and all of our data is being sold and used against us. So it's like, we weren't conditioned to fear oversharing online. And I don't necessarily think that you're stupid for oversharing online or that it's something that people shouldn't do, as long as they sort of know what they're doing. But it feels like right now there's no place to really do that because, you know, you overshare on Facebook, suddenly you're getting weird ads and stuff like that.
Yeah, no one's really posted an alternative. How does Twitter and Instagram and some of the other platforms sort of play into your analysis and your essay? Like, there's the delete Facebook movement, but like, there's not really a delete Instagram movement and stuff. But like, you know, that's targeted advertising too.
And it's owned by Facebook,
right?
Also. So it's like, yeah, I think a lot of people are deleting Facebook, but they're still using Instagram. They're still using WhatsApp. They're still using Twitter. I think it's hard because people do want to connect and do want to share things. And there is that dopamine hit when you have like a good tweet and you get a lot of likes or a lot of retweets, or you post something on Facebook and someone you haven't heard from in a while comments on it. So I do think that the era of personal websites has a lot of the things that Facebook has, but not everything. Like, it was, there can be the sense that you're posting in isolation and no one's really seeing it. No one's really giving you feedback on it. But there are, you know, other blogging platforms, like WordPress is a blogging platform that is open source that you can put on your own website that has comments, that has like blog rings and links and things that people who grew up in the early 2000s like probably remember. On Zanga, like I had a whole bunch of links to my friends' pages and you could subscribe to people and add them there. And yeah, I don't have any illusion that like had Zanga or MySpace done better, they wouldn't have done the same thing that Facebook did eventually. But it's not like any of us were consulted about this business model. It's just like suddenly someone figured out how to make money on it and it turned out that it came at the expense of all of us.
Right. Yeah. A monster was created. I just want to pause for a second because now that I have your website open, I am seeing some small red typeface sort of scroll across the page and it says, hold on, I have to wait for it to come back. Welcome to JasonSite dot dot dot. Take my quiz and play hot or not all caps. So what is hot or not?
Yeah, so this is probably the only part of JasonSite that I regret, only because now I'm 30 years old and remember when I made this, I was 13. Yeah, I used to talk to like my friends on AIM when I was 13 and they were like, I had just figured out how to have like voting on a website. And so I was talking to one of my friends and they're like, what should we do? Should you do with this? And I think there was a website at that time called hotornot.com, I think. And they're like, why don't we just do that, but with people we know?
Oh my God.
And so I put it on there and I, you know, uploaded photos of people and you like could vote hot or not, which is very bad.
That is horrible.
Except it was like equal opportunity. Like it was like half men, half women, well, boys and girls actually, which is bad. I mean, these are like teens.
Yeah, children.
And I actually had this weird legal disclaimer on there, which I just made up thinking I was a lawyer or something. And I was like, you have to send me your photo to be included. And you can only send it to me if you're over the age of 13. And if you send it to me, I have permission to post it on my site, which I don't think that
13 is
passes
such an
legal.
Arbitrary
yeah, it doesn't
age.
Really pass legal muster. I think I was like, you have to be older than I am. Then it's fine. To be clear, everyone is just like wearing hoodies and standing in the mall and stuff like that.
It's oh my like, God. It really is innocent. Like you kind of were the original Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, so I wasn't. Mark Zuckerberg invented FaceMash before Facebook. If you saw The Social Network, you might know that. And that was essentially like a hot or not for Harvard University. And, you know, this has like a friends list. It has a news feed. I think I even call it a news feed on the site. So, yeah, it's pretty forward thinking.
I would say instead of
going into site development, I decided to go into journalism and struggled there for a long time. So I don't know if I made the right decision, but
I think you're doing all right. So take us to the moment when Facebook kind of appeared on the scene for you. You wrote about like all your friends gathering around a computer in the school library. So what made you guys switch from those other sites to Facebook?
Yeah, this is something that I remember like very clearly. And I don't know why, because I don't remember a lot from my senior year of high school, just in terms of like individual days. But I had Miss Brosnan's genetics class, sixth period, and she must not have been there that day or something. But in the back of the classroom, there were like four or five computers, and like no one had a smartphone at the time. They didn't even exist, but someone checked their email somehow.
Wouldn't that be crazy if someone did have a smartphone at that time?
So like Sidekicks existed. Maybe that's why. Like BlackBerries and Sidekicks existed.
Yeah,
so maybe
true.
Someone like one of the rich kids had a BlackBerry and like they got an email from the University of Maryland that kind of like a lot of kids in my class were going to. And they got an email from them saying like, hey, you have a University of Maryland email address now. So it was like at umd.edu. And this was a couple months before Facebook was available to everyone. So for the first few years of Facebook, you had to be in college to have a Facebook. And so once we had that .edu email address, we were able to like make a Facebook. And that was just like a huge rite of passage for us. Honestly, I didn't really know what Facebook was at that time. but, you know, one of the kids had an older brother or like someone who graduated the year before. And they're like, you got to get on Facebook. Like, this is where all the college kids are at. Like, it's just like MySpace, but for adults, like cool college kids. And so, yeah, we sat in the back of the class and logged into made Facebook accounts one after the other and then friended each other. And sort of looking back, like that was a very important moment for a lot of us because, you know, everyone is still on Facebook that I know of in that class. We're all still friends on Facebook. And all of our data has been monetized by this company that we didn't think twice about joining. Like, we just all did it because everyone was doing it. And yeah, I think the reason we did it was because like a popular kid said, hey, people are on Facebook, let's do it.
I so remember it having like this older target audience, or like that's what we thought. So like MySpace was for younger kids or like high schoolers and Facebook was for college kids. But I didn't remember that you needed a college email address. I forgot that.
Yeah. So this was 2006 was when I graduated. And I think at the end of 2006, I just looked this up this week for this article, they made it available to everyone. So it was only like a couple months before that. And I think Facebook had been around for like 2 or 3 years, maybe. Do you like remember MySpace though? Like, because MySpace was pretty crazy with like the music and like the crazy backgrounds and stuff.
I really have only this like blurry visual memory of MySpace. Like, I just remember kind of like colors and like the kind of aesthetic of the interface. And I remember using it for music, but I really don't remember anything else.
Yeah, I remember MySpace top 8 was a big thing, like who is in your top 8.
Oh yeah, oh my god, it's like all coming back to me. Wow, it's like I really did not remember this. Yeah,
it's weird because I feel like as people have started to realize what Facebook does with your data, they've stopped posting as much.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's because they don't feel like posting somewhere online about their lives. I think it's because they're consciously not sharing, which is interesting because for 15 years, we had been updating, you know, LiveJournal, Zanga, MySpace, and Facebook like every day. And I guess a lot of that's moved to Snapchat and to Instagram and Instagram stories, but it's kind of fractured a little bit. Like some people aren't on all of those. And I don't know. It's like, obviously people grow and change, but I do miss the days of like, you can just kind of post stuff online and people will respond to it and they won't be jerks and it won't be sold somewhere.
Right, yeah. It's become not just like monetized in a scary way, but also just like a pretty toxic space. I am one of those people who's pretty much stopped using Facebook. I rarely post anything, but the one thing I get from it still is events. So I feel like if there's an app or some kind of way to like share and learn about like music events and shows and that kind of thing, then I will swiftly exit Facebook happily with a smile on my face. Bye bye. But that's the only thing I use it for, really. So I don't know. What should we be using? Email? Like, what's the takeaway here?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because if a friend invites people to their party on Facebook and you're not on Facebook, then maybe you don't get invited. And like, if they're not a super close friend, they might not think to email or text you or something like that. Facebook, like, don't get me wrong, it's had a major impact in the way that we live our lives. And for many people, that's very positive. Like, there's a lot of charities that have raised money on there. There's a lot of people who've gotten back in touch with, you know, people that I haven't talked to for years. I think it has connected the world in some way, shape, or form. But before Facebook, we did use email. We did use Messenger. People did have their own sites and blogs and stuff like that. And then also there was like forums, and you could go, like, if you were interested in rescue dogs or something, you could go to the rescue dog forum. You didn't have to go to like the rescue dog Facebook page. And those forums have just as much, if not more, functionality than Facebook. I mean, some of those sites still exist, but that's not the world that we live in anymore, where it's like, yeah, you can go to Facebook and you get all of your stuff. I think the ideal I was sort of just talking about is like, there wasn't really a reason why everyone stopped having their own site or their own blog. It's just everyone kind of moved to Facebook and we all did it at the same time, more or less. And now we feel very beholden to Facebook. And we could just make our own websites again. We could, like, I could go back. I wouldn't do this because Jason's site is a treasure and a relic and I will never change it. But I could go back and I could update that site and I could post pictures of my dog and I could, you know, talk about my vacation and stuff. I would get much the same feeling that I get from Facebook, I think. I think I probably will make my own website where I'm just like, hey, doing this today, you know, like just the sort of bland stuff that people put on Facebook. Because if I have it on my own website, it's mine. I own it. I'm not going to serve ads to myself based on what's on my like site. And like I found last year that I was posting a lot on Instagram and I did feel good about it because I was like, I looked back and I was like, oh, I did this year and this and this and this. And then this year I didn't really post on Instagram much because I was like, I don't want to give all these photos to Mark Zuckerberg. And now I look back and I'm like, I don't know what I did this year. So I need to put it somewhere and I don't want to have like a regular journal. So I'll probably make a website.
Jason's site 2.0.
Yeah, could do.
What's the response been to this article?
It's actually been like very overwhelmingly positive in a way that my takes often aren't. I've gotten a lot of emails from people being like, oh, I remember having a website. I'm going to make a website again. Or like, hey, that's a great idea. But I mean, a lot of people have also said people use Facebook in a way that we didn't use websites. Like you can have privacy settings on Facebook. If you're posting on a website, someone can just come to it and read it, a stranger, you know? So there is like a privacy aspect to Facebook that's a very like human privacy aspect that we don't necessarily have on websites unless you know how to like set up a password and stuff like that. But other people have said, I learned like my friend was sick on Facebook or I learned about a party on Facebook, like I could never leave it. And I think that's fair because there is like this network effect of, you know, you need to have people, like if that's people's default mode of communication, then you're kind of out of luck. But there is, you know, there's email. Like if you aren't checking up on your friend very often and you learn they're sick, like maybe you weren't that close anymore or something, you know, it's like,
yeah, it's like we hung out with people before Facebook. Like people saw each other. They went to parties still. They hosted dinner parties. People went and heard music. Like all of these things happened before Facebook. You reach out to your friend and you learn that they're sick. So
I think it just takes a little more effort and time, which not a lot of us have these days. So I don't know. I still have a Facebook. I check it. I don't really update it. I've barely updated it the whole year, I don't think. But I've really been wanting to delete it. I think the reason that I still have it is mostly for work, just to check in on like sources and stuff like that. But friend-wise, I mostly chat them, text them, email them, and I don't really check Facebook. And when I do, all my notifications are for stuff that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. So I guess the takeaway is that you were a baby genius and saw the
future. Send me billions.
And, you know, hashtag delete Facebook.
Yeah. Someone got very mad at me, actually. One of the emails, like, you think you invented Facebook? You think you invented the website?
Oh my God.
I was like, no, I don't think that. I know
like,
that website
existed. You should look at Jason's site before you say that.
Yeah. It's like not very professional site. But the thoughts are there.
The thoughts are there. Well, good job. You can read Jason's full piece at Vice.com. That's it for now. Thanks so much for listening. And tune in again on Wednesday for another Vice Guide to Right Now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.